From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, September 6, 2017. And on this day, new numbers on drug deaths in Maine seem to show leveling off, but they are still very high. And we'll check in on Maine's boat building industry, which is in recovery after some real setbacks a few years ago. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Maine Attorney General Janet Mills says the state is not doing enough to address the drug crisis. Her comments came as she released the drug death statistics for the first 6 months of the year. Mal Leary reports.
In the first 6 months of 2016, drug deaths in Maine hit a high of 193. In the first 6 months of this year, that number was down slightly to 185. Attorney General Janet Mills says, given the more widespread use of the anti-overdose drug naloxone, increased efforts to get addicts into treatment, and the general increased awareness of the drug crisis, she had hoped the number of drug deaths would go down significantly this year. They haven't, and that means more must be done.
A lot greater public attention on the issue. Obviously, we're not doing enough. The state of Maine is not doing nearly enough to save these lives.
Mills says that about 4 out of every 5 drug deaths are caused by an overdose of 2 or more drugs like heroin and fentanyl. She says the state needs more treatment facilities and prevention efforts. Otherwise, she says Maine is on track to witness at least 1 drug death per day in 2017. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Newport Representative Ken Fredette, the House Republican leader, has joined the growing field of candidates for governor. His campaign slogan, Stay the Course. Fredette's a longtime ally of Governor Paula Page, and by staying the course, he says he means he wants to hold the line on spending, drive down the income tax rate, and look for strategic investments to move the state forward. He says he is differentiating himself in terms of leadership.
For what I've done in the caucus, but also my background, and that means my military background, but also being a candidate from rural Maine.
Fredette says he's not decided yet whether he'll run as a traditional candidate or seek public campaign financing. He says he plans to stay in the race through the primary, even if U.S. Senator Susan Collins decides to run. Another GOP candidate, State Senator Garrett Mason, was expected to formally announce his candidacy this afternoon. That event was canceled due to the sudden death of his mother, State Representative Gina Mason. Former Maine Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew is also seeking the Republican nomination for governor. The federal government is awarding more than $1 million to a Maine-based research project on climate change and Gulf of Maine fisheries. Fred Bever reports the results could change the way catch quotas are set for groundfish species like cod and haddock.
Fisheries regulators set catch quotas based on historical data on species abundance in any given area. Now, scientists will seek ways to estimate how groundfish will respond looking forward to water temperature changes in the Gulf of Maine, which in 10 years has warmed faster than 99% of the rest of the global ocean. Dr. Lisa Kerr is leading the project at the Gulf of Maine Research Institute. She says the idea is to create a predictive tool for managers that includes a variety of climate change scenarios, species biologies, and fishing techniques.
It's essentially a way we can simulate how things are going to respond to climate change and test things virtually before we do the testing on the water with fishermen's livelihoods at stake.
It's a 3-year project, and Kerr says GMRI will convene multiple stakeholder meetings for input and advice before making any proposals to fisheries managers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And finally today, a lobsterman's biggest expense is the boat. Analysts say Maine's boat building industry has made a remarkable recovery since it bottomed out during the Great Recession of 2008, when many of the state's boat builders, including Young Brothers Boats of Korea, decided to get out of the business. A.J. Higgins traveled down east to see how the industry is faring.
It's 44 Calvin.
Inside Mike Light's boat shop in Steuben, a 44-foot Calvin Beo lobster boat is getting a major facelift that its owner hopes will keep him fishing for another 6 to 10 years. The seas take a toll on these hard-working vessels, and when the time comes for repairs, Light says some fishermen are choosing to upgrade.
People are going bigger because people are getting driven outside, people are driven to do trawls, and you need bigger boats to be able to, you know, fish that way. And so, you know, it's funny, everybody's going bigger.
That's 47 H&H, lengthened out 49-11, raised the sides a foot. 1500 Boyd Wan, 12-cylinder.
Bigger is definitely something Travis Perry had in mind as he took the wheel of his 50-footer in Millbridge this week, which Mike Light had just finished to his specifications. Absent the steering wheel, the boat's wheelhouse would look more like a small television studio with flat-panel video screens that Perry says will allow him to monitor what's going on above, below, and even over the sides of his vessel.
My grandfather would have been crazy over it because they had old flashers and number machine and a chart. Now this stuff nowadays is unbelievable. Cameras in the engine room.
The resurgence of lobster boat building has been propelled by back-to-back banner years that have seen lobster landings exceed 120 million pounds annually. Prices at the dock have also risen and increased the annual value of the lobster catch to more than $500 million in 2015 and 2016. This year may not measure up to those numbers due to a late start to a season characterized by colder than normal water temperatures, and builders disagree on what that will mean for new orders. Mike Light says it could be a bad omen.
The price is down now. The catch isn't as good right now, and I think it's hard to tell where that's going to put the boat building industry. You know, it might you know, be keeping people and making people realize how quickly it can go bad. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some of my orders come off the board, to be honest with you.
But 25 miles west of Light's shop in Steuben, Stuart Workman is fielding telephone calls from anxious buyers at his SW Boatworks in Lemoyne. He agrees with Light's assessment of the current catch, but not necessarily how that will affect future boat orders.
New sales has been a little slow. It's usually slow during the summer, but I am anticipating it to pick up a little bit. Everyone's busy out fishing, and they don't have time to think about a new boat or a bigger boat. We do have a pretty good backlog right now, and that's holding us. But, you know, we've got to stay optimistic at this point in time.
Both Light and Workman know well the ups and downs of the lobster business and of boat building. Both started working back in the 1980s at the Young Brothers Boatyard in Korea, which built more than 500 vessels until it closed its doors 7 years ago. Young Brothers Boats have their design origins in Jonesport and Beals, the home of legendary boat builders Wayne Beal, his brother Calvin Beal Jr., and Calvin's brother-in-law, Ernest Libby Jr. Stuart Workman ultimately purchased the molds used to build the Beal and Young Brothers boats and is working on a 45-foot Young Brothers boat that will be powered to exceed 30 knots. Colby Young, the only survivor of the three brothers who founded the company, isn't surprised to see his creations making a comeback.
They're a good combination boat. They make a good pleasure boat, which we built several of them, and Stuart's doing with it now. There's some boats that will roll more than what our boat did. Ours might be a little quicker, but in all, it was a very safe boat to work with. It does give you a little pride to know that you made a difference.
Although there are dozens of lobster boat finishers in Maine, John Johansson of the Maine Built Boats marketing firm estimates that there are fewer than 20 companies that still manufacture the fiberglass hulls for all of them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, September 6, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.